Well, we're heading to Ukraine next to find out if the 30-hour ceasefire is definitively over and to find out if it might be the start of something more lasting in a war that is now in its 1,152nd day. Ukrainian politician Yulia Sirko has described how the sirens have been going throughout the night in the capital, Kyiv.
We're headed at 4:30 a.m. For 1 hour, so we have to go to the shelter with kids. So I think we will observe it more during the day, because as we can hear from the Putin and Kremlin side, that they are not going to prolong ceasefire for the next 30 days, as was suggested by President Zelensky. And probably we will leave again with a lot of sirens, air raids every day. So at school, at work, that's our everyday life.
Well, James Waterhouse is the BBC's correspondent in Ukraine, and he's on the line. James, thank you so much for taking our call this morning. Where are you talking to us from this morning?
I'm in the southern city of Mykolaiv, where there were explosions recorded overnight.
And what have you been witnessing and hearing in your time there?
It's been interesting. I mean, broadly speaking, I mean, sirens are going off as I speak. It's very much a resumption of the rhythm of this war for people in this southern part of Ukraine. And broadly speaking, across the front line, it remained active over this 30-hour truce announced by Russia. But in the case of the southern city of Kherson, where we spent the day yesterday, this frontline city next to the River Dnipro, separating Russian occupying forces and Ukrainian controlled territory, it was eerily quiet. This is a place that, you know, where civilians are terrorized by Russian drones. They're shelling every day. It was flooded in recent years after the destruction of a major dam. It's seen it all. And people there were saying, we have not gone through this in a very long time. They celebrated Easter Sunday, but they few had faith that this would turn into something more. And I think when the Kremlin said there were no plans to extend it, then I think that skepticism was confirmed.
Could it be the start of something, James? Is there any sense that this might be the trigger for something that might develop into a longer term ceasefire?
I think because of the pace of this Donald Trump White House in terms of foreign policy, it's really hard to gauge. But President Zelensky this morning has reported, he claims that Russia broke the truce 3,000 times. There are reported Russian advances or attempted advances in the southeastern front, an increase in artillery fire around the eastern city of Pokrovsk. But interestingly, there were no air raid sirens. So President Zelensky, under heat from Washington, is saying, right, let's do a longer separate ceasefire on long-range missile strikes. And seemingly, Donald Trump said this week, after saying he'd walk away last week, a deal could be done. And then both Russia and Ukraine can do business with America because we are, in his words, thriving. It's really hard to keep up. But I think what this last period has shown us is that meaningful, weighty ceasefires require patient diplomacy. Even when the Kremlin unilaterally announces truces like this, you have the familiar pattern of both sides accusing each other of breaking it. But a lull in fighting for Ukrainians at any given point, I guess, is something.
Oh, it is. It's welcome. Why did Putin do it? I mean, was it for the religious festival of Easter, the religious season, or was it to curry favour with Trump?
I would say a bit of both. I mean, this is a Russian leader who likes to present himself as the solution to the full-scale war he continues to wage. On one hand, you could say he's enjoying and improving relations with the White House. He has something to gain from that. He could negotiate a relaxation of sanctions. And equally, the US is satisfied in engaging with Russia directly and bypassing Europe in the middle. I mean, that's music to his ears. Equally, though, if America does carry out with its threat of turning its back on these ceasefire endeavors, and therefore on Ukraine, that hurts Ukraine more because of its reliance on American military aid. So perhaps, no, Vladimir Putin is weighing that up and thinking, right, even if sanctions aren't relaxed, I could carry on with my invasion more unchallenged. It's these equations, as ever, when it comes to Kremlin watching, which are very difficult to kind of establish. But I think what was interesting from the Ukrainian side was that it was Volodymyr Zelensky calling his bluff, in a sense, and trying to get ahead of the inevitable accusations of Ukraine breaking the ceasefire.
Because is it fair to say, James, that since the start of the entire peace push by Donald Trump's White House, that everything that has been put forward as a proposal, Vladimir Putin has not agreed to, and it appears, at least from this distance, that he has the upper hand on Trump.
That's certainly being levelled at Donald Trump by his critics in America. But you're right, nothing really has changed. You've had, after a tumultuous start of the year, you have Ukraine and the US seemingly on the same page. Ukraine has no choice. It has to say it's up for peace. It agreed to a wide-ranging ceasefire, which included a naval ceasefire on the Black Sea. And Russia said, yeah, OK, we're up for that, but we would need a relaxation of sanctions on some of our agricultural exports. And then it all fell down. You had some whisperings from the US that it was running out of patience with Russia. But for, to Ukraine's frustration, yes, America is running out of patience, but it's never condemned Russia for the ongoing invasion. It has never carried out its threat of further sanctions from Moscow for dragging its heels. And here we are now, where it's being said out loud that America would turn its back. So I think we are seeing Russia exercise some kind of leverage here, even though it is America that could hurt it all the more. And I think that's the reflection of the current geopolitics that surround this conflict.
James, thank you very much indeed. James Waterhouse, the BBC's correspondent in Ukraine, live from the southern city of Mykolaiv in Ukraine.